Okay, we are back this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Join us online right now at Twitter, at eRadioSports, eRadioSports.com. It is our NBA talk. We are visiting with Bob Berry Jr. from News Channel 4 out of Oklahoma City as we specifically zero in on the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I think, Bobby, one of the biggest storylines is kind of handicapping the MVP race between LeBron and Durant. I know that you're tracking it closely. Who is the leading candidate in your mind at this point?
I think the guy in Miami has decided to send a message to the world saying, hello, I haven't retired yet. I mean, I thought there was no question in the first half of the season, E, that Kevin Durant was the MVP, and there was no doubt he had the 54-point game against Golden State. He was facilitating. He was averaging 7 assists. He was just having remarkable games. He had that streak of 12 straight games where he scored 30 points or more, and actually could have done it in the 13th game, and they were way ahead, and they took him out, and Scott Brooks said, if you want to stay in, you can. Kevin said, no, we're good. And so he sat out with a 26-point game, you know, midway through the fourth quarter. So he's unselfish. He was just doing all those things. Everybody saw it. But when they went to Miami and beat the Heat down there, they had lost 6 straight to them over 2 seasons or 3 seasons or whatever it was. And they went to Miami and beat the Heat in a game when LeBron actually outscored Kevin 34-33. But the Thunder got such a convincing win that that even added to everybody saying, oh, it's KD's year, it's KD's year. But then, you know, you go to the All-Star break, you come back, Miami comes to Oklahoma City and just hammered the Thunder. I mean, it was ugly. It wasn't even close. 103-81, and it felt worse than that. LeBron dominated Durant. He had 16 points in the first quarter, 14 before Kevin had even put up a shot. And then, we know LeBron went out after that, shortly thereafter, and had a 61-point game. And so I personally think it's neck and neck right now, and I think that the only way Kevin will continue. I thought he would have a good game against Philadelphia just for that reason. Neither one of these guys are going to admit it, but they work out together in the off season. You know they're sitting there waking up every day looking at the box scores going, what did KD do? What did LeBron do? I mean, I guarantee you they're matching each other, and they said, oh, I got to go out and have a big game tonight. So it didn't surprise me at all when Durant had the 42-point game against Philadelphia, a very efficient game, I might add. It was a quiet 42, if there is such a thing. And so they're going to continue to trade haymakers the rest of the year with 40 days to go or whatever it is in the season, and I think it'll come down neck and neck. But I think maybe the feeling in Oklahoma City is that some people around the NBA will quite simply be tired of LeBron winning MVPs. He's won 4 out of the last 5, and some voters might say, you know what, let's give it to Durant. He's had that kind of a season. He's never won one. It's his year. But LeBron definitely has sent a loud message that is like he wouldn't mind winning another one.
You know, Bob, it is neck and neck. It's a neck and neck race between these two players. But how big of a priority is it truly for Kevin? Because when you spend time around him, he's so humble. He's a team kind of guy. He wants to just get his first title. I mean, LeBron's already got his two.
There's no question. But I guarantee you, again, if you put a truth serum in Kevin's mouth, I'm sure he would say, oh, I'd love to win an MVP too. You know, why not an MVP and a title like LeBron's done? And why not an MVP of the finals trophy as well as a team title? So they'd like all that stuff. When you're the best in the world, that's what you want to do. And that's why those guys work out together. And even when they're separate, they make themselves better each and every year. I personally think, Elissa, that there's LeBron on the top on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. I think there's a gap, and then Kevin Durant. And then I think there's a huge gap between everybody else. I think those two horses have pulled several furlongs ahead of everybody else, and probably LeBron's about a furlong ahead of Kevin, and then the field is eating their dust right now. So that's what I think. But Kevin has been remarkable this season. He really picked up the slack when Russell was out, so it'll be nice to see how he adjusts or what happens to him now that Westbrook is making his way back into the lineup and getting his legs underneath him. I just think it'll go probably down to the end again, and maybe Kevin will win. But in terms of what he thinks and what he says publicly, oh, he would much prefer to win a championship because he's never experienced that.
Okay, we are zeroing in on the Oklahoma City Thunder and going one-on-one with Bob Berry Jr. from News Channel 4 in Oklahoma City and the Sports Animal. I want to shift gears a bit and talk about Russell Westbrook and his return. And obviously the big surprise, everyone was talking about the fact that the Thunder were out of rhythm. They had dropped 3 consecutive games. He was rusty in his return. Give us a sense of how things are now trending and what direction they're headed in.
I think there's still just concern on what will be his longevity, what his long-term thing, because I tell you what was kind of scary when he had the triple-double against Philadelphia, E, was that he had a triple-double on Christmas Day against the New York Knicks, and mm-hmm. Everybody said that's the best basketball Russell's ever played in the so far this season, including his 3 All-Star years, and then 2 days after the triple-double against the Knicks on Christmas Day, we get this memo that, hey, he's out until the All-Star break with another knee procedure, so Now he's had another triple-double against the Sixers, and everybody's kind of on pins and needles. Are we going to be getting an email here in the next day or two saying he's, you know, in California having another knee surgery? So there's definitely concern there because he's had three procedures, and I've had doctor friends tell me that I don't care how invasive it is or what, you go into the same knee three times, something's up. So right now he's acting like everything's fine. There's been discussion that Scott Brooks may, in certain games down the stretch, elect to hold him out. He was doing that occasionally in the first half, if he doesn't need to play. But Russell would just as soon play a doubleheader every day, so it's going to be hard to keep him off the floor. But he looks, you know, just fine now. He was very slow to the game in those first three home losses you mentioned. He wasn't shooting it very well. I think he was 7 for his first 25, and his passes were off. But that was kind of expected. I think now we saw the real Westbrook the other night in their win against Charlotte when they beat the Bobcats easily, and now the triple-double against Philly. So he's fine, but the question is, will that knee swell? Will he have to have it drained, which is what caused his third procedure? He said he wasn't in any pain. It was just constant swelling and drainage needing to occur. So that's there's still people around that are sitting there going, wow, we hope that knee holds up.
The Oklahoma City Thunder, they have certainly had to deal with, as you were just talking about, as far as with Russell Westbrook, his knee issues, but the injuries of Tabo Cephalosha and Kendrick Perkins, they faced a ton of adversity this year. How do you assess the job that Scott Brooks has done in terms of the rotation and juggling all that talent?
Well, I'm kind of a Brooks fan. There's definitely some media members around the Oklahoma City market that feels like he favors Kendrick Perkins too much. Perkins, you know, I'm a Celtics guy from way back, so obviously I was a fan of Kendrick Perkins when he was playing for Doc Rivers in Boston. And for whatever reason, Perk does not match up against Miami. It's just not his kind of game. And when he started in the finals against the Heat, but those games didn't work out well for him or the team. When he started against Miami earlier this season, and they fell behind like 20-2 or something down in Miami before they were able to come back. They got him off the court. He played 4.5 minutes. It was the fewest minutes he had ever played in a game since 2006. And once they benched Perk, the Thunder went on a big run and ended up winning that game by 17 at Miami. And so there was a lot of thought prior to this last meeting in Oklahoma City between the two teams that Perk shouldn't start because it's never worked out. Well, Brooks went ahead and started him. He played 5.5 minutes. The Thunder fell behind 24-8, and then it never got better. They got beat 103-81, even though Perk was on the bench at the end, so, and got hurt, actually. So for whatever reason, it just doesn't work when they play Miami. And yet, in the other games that they were winning, Perk is extremely valuable just for that other little stuff that he does. He sets mean picks. He gets Durant open all the time. He's good as a post defender. Kobe Bryant, not too awful long ago, said he was the best post defender in the NBA. That was a couple seasons back, but he's still pretty valuable there. So I think there's a place for Kendrick Perkins on this Thunder roster. Obviously, I think they're going to miss him if he's out for most of the regular season, and they need to get him back. But other than that, Scott Brooks, the way he's used this rotation and fit guys in and gotten the young guys involved, I think has been very solid. But it's just he gets probably criticized more than anything for his use of Kendrick Perkins.
Okay, we're up against the clock. That was Bob Berry Jr. from News Channel 4. Stick with us. Much more straight ahead this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show.